Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that likes to work the grill. As soon as he walk in the house, he's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Chandler, throw the match. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a Friday afternoon. Oh, glorious Friday afternoon. I don't know about you guys. I've got the short shorts going. It's that time of year. It's thigh season.
You are a short shorts man.
I am.
You are a short shorts man. Who wears short shorts? Danny wears short shorts.
I did grow up in the era of giant basketball shorts, and I do have a pair or two still left. Weirdly enough,
just really uncomfortable now.
Yes, but they're like comfortable when you look like it's not quite cold enough for sweats.
Oh.
Because, you know, they go like mid, you know, past the knee.
Past the knee.
I have a pair of Xavier basketball shorts from when I was in the Air Force.
That's an odd.
They're old team. And they're just a dope logo.
Go Musketeers.
It's the silver and blue with the X.
It's a good logo.
It's a good logo. But those are still hanging around by a thread. They're so comfortable. I say that as I'm literally wearing a short shirt that I wore when I was in the Air Force.
I don't know. I don't have much stuff anymore that is over, I don't know, 5 years old. I got rid of a lot of that stuff. Yeah.
I won't let go of this one, and I won't let go of those shorts.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. Everything else I hold on to, or everything else I kind of cycle through. Speaking of cycling through, you can cycle through on youtube.com/1080amthefan and twitch.tv/1080amthefan. We appreciate you. We love you. And we're thankful that you're tuning in on this glorious Friday.
You're damn right. Damn right. It is a glorious Friday. It's sunny out. We're going to have a decent weekend.
Yeah. It'll reset to be craptacular again.
Spring
3.0. One or two more times. Yeah. But in the meantime, basketball season fully underway. We're past Christmas just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, now basketball season is really starting.
It's really in the swing of things.
The NBA is really getting underway.
And the first round of the NBA playoffs is so good because it's just basketball every single bleeping night.
I appreciate the way that the NBA has tweaked that schedule a little bit. They used to have days where it was like 3 days off.
They do that later on.
But it's justified.
Yeah, it's like, let's make sure everybody's healthy, get travel days.
And TV windows.
Yeah, make sure everything's optimized so that things, because it is a 7-game series, you don't want to have it swing hard one way or the other based on playing in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to give them an advantage, but also you don't want it to be crippling. Having to travel, you know, on a back-to-back and then go play in Denver sucks.
That's a no good.
That's a miserable thing. But we do have the play-in tonight. Bulls and Heat, Kings and Pelicans. Those will settle out your 8 seeds to figure out who is playing the Boston Celtics and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Zero faith. Like, these games mean, the 7 seed games, those are intriguing. They mean a whole lot. Do you have any faith that the winner of either one of these games will knock off the 1 seed? I guess we can squint at Oklahoma City a little bit, but I'm not going to do what we talked about the other day in that when we were talking about if the Lakers or the Warriors play Oklahoma City, you know, all of a sudden the conversation's going to be, hey, they're going to be in real trouble here. Darvin Ham was asked the dumbest question ever after they won.
Yes.
Which was, did you guys ever think about an easier path being through Oklahoma City? He's like, no, you win. You get more days off.
Yeah, and whoever says that is out of an insane asylum.
What are we doing here? We're not going to lose this game with the hopes that we win the next one.
Because you never know a shooting variance. Somebody, I just saw it come across Twitter earlier during the show. Somebody had mapped out the three-point variance during the season. Teams that shot above average across the NBA from three, from league average, all of them finished with 46 or more wins.
Oh.
All of them.
Really?
Yes. Those that did not fell below 50%.
Where were the Blazers?
They were not above average. They were one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league.
Therefore,
one of the worst teams in the league. And that's,
I think, the easiest
way to control winning right now. Air quotes, control winning. Just don't have enough shooting.
And that is 100% the biggest thing that the Blazers need to get going into next season is they need shooters, man.
Yes.
Especially with the way that they're going to be built moving forward with Scoot Henderson being a focal point of that offense. He's not a shooter. You have to have spacers.
Plus shooters basically everywhere else.
Yeah. Who would have thunk that success at basketball would be, you know, putting the ball through the basket.
Oh, hot damn.
Well, I mean, you look at like a team like the Orlando Magic. Like they're the one team that, you know, they're just above league average, but the shooting is a problem. But you find you zig when everybody else zags. You get big and you just dominate the rim.
Yep.
So that's for me, that's the matchup that I'm most interested in. Cavs Magic.
That game, that series seems fun as hell.
Yeah.
Like, it has the potential of the one that everybody is going to kind of look over because you have Milwaukee and Indiana. Mm-hmm. That will be a very fun series.
Yes.
They will manufacture Denver and L.A. being a very fun
series.
People
are already like, well, if they get game one, it's like, if they get game one, what? They'll have won one game against the Nuggets in the last 10? Congratulations.
And that those games have been close, so I think that's what they're kind of looking at, is that... albeit close games, but losing is losing.
Yes.
And when the rubber meets the road with where the Denver Nuggets are as a playoff team, it's not just the punch, it's the counterpunch,
yeah,
and then the counter to that counterpunch that makes them so scary in the playoffs. And they are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually something new for Denver heading into, yeah, the playoffs. And the Lakers just don't have the horses anymore. If this was LeBron a couple of years ago, yeah. And LeBron will carry LA probably to a win in this series just by LeBron doing LeBron things. If Anthony Davis shows up, that's going to be an even tighter series. And I'm not saying they're going to get swept by the Denver Nuggets. It will not be a close series, in my opinion. Like, if we go, I think it's probably Denver in six, but feeling comfortable the whole way. Not a situation where they're ever feeling like they're going to be eliminated at any point during the series. Maybe it's like they win two, LA gets game three at home, then Denver wins game four, and then game five, LA wins, then they close it out in game six, 4-2. And I think that's where I could see that being
I think it goes
how the series
sweep.
Plays out.
You think it goes 4-1?
4-1? Yeah. I could see that happening too. Like, the Lakers haven't beat them in nine tries.
No.
Nine times.
Yeah. I think it goes giant
nine
sweep.
Times.
It's hard to sweep a team, even in the first round when you do have the difference of the one and the eight.
And I think that we're going to have a really fun series with the Clippers and the Mavericks, too. I think that's going to be a really fun series if you can bandage LA together enough to make it competitive. But at the same token, I say all of that, there's three series that are going to be pumped up far greater than the Maverick or the Magic and the Cavaliers. That has all the fun that you could ask for in a playoff series, and they could go seven games in that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a fun as hell series. Four or five matchups, man. They are great, and this one is going to be a hell of a matchup.
And then you get two enormous East Coast markets going against each other in what should probably be an Eastern Conference Finals matchup between the Knicks and 76ers?
I cannot believe it's been 35 years since they've played in the mm-hmm. playoffs. They have not played in the playoffs since 1989.
Yeah. Knicks and Heat, plenty of time.
Taylor Swift wasn't even born.
Wow.
1989, that's the year she was born. December 13th, 1989.
Just under the wire.
It's been bludgeoned over my head by my daughter. That is when Taylor Swift has been born. Apparently that's a big holiday in our
12-13, actually, when Jesus was born.
But if in that playoff series in the spring of 1989, it's been 35 years since the Knicks and the 76ers have both been good enough to play each other in the playoffs. Holy crap.
Mostly the
76ers.
Yeah.
And then when the Sixers got good, AI years, the Knicks, I don't know how in the early 2000s they never played each other in the playoffs.
Seeding,
you would think
yeah.
that they would have
one,
found themselves at
one
some point.
One fell on the face, you know?
Holy smokes.
Usually the Heat was causing a problem for one of them.
Absolutely.
That's kinda how it went.
Still Udonis Haslam.
Yeah. You're not wrong. What's your favorite matchup?
My favorite matchup in this, just it will be Milwaukee and Indiana.
Okay.
I'm just, from an interest level, from not having Giannis at the beginning, maybe any of this series.
Yeah. And Dame's dinged up, too.
Dame being dinged up in the fact that Milwaukee does need to save some face here.
Yeah.
And being bounced as the three seed when you were...
By Indiana, a team that's given you hell all season.
Yeah. That one, to me, is number one in my book. And it's closer than I thought, though, between Cavs Magic, and then also that Mavs Clippers series is probably 2A and 2B for me.
Yeah, this is gonna be fun. I'm super excited.
What about you? What one is it for you?
Orlando Cleveland.
That's number one.
Sicko basketball.
Yeah.
Give me all the young bigs.
Literally.
Evan Mobley, Jared
All
Allen,
of the young bigs.
Yeah. Franz Wagner, Paolo Banchero. I mean, even hell, even Wendell Carter Jr. still young. But yeah, that's the one for me. I'll probably have a pretty serious interest in the Thunder series too, just to see how the Thunder stack up.
See if they're ready for
the next stage. Yeah. That's gonna be interesting.
Well, and if they play Sacramento, that's a Sacramento team that has playoff experience. Mm-hmm.
And Sabonis is a guy that could bother them, and comes down
to the wire too. Yeah. I mean, like a playoff series where it's like if you get to the playoffs and you just get the doors blown off you, that's one thing. But if you have, it's something about going through that fight of being in a close, hotly contested series. You learn a whole hell of a lot about who you are on the inside mm-hmm. in those series. And they're beat up, they're banged up, they're without two key players. Especially Ronald Threesley.
Mm-hmm. Monk.
And Malik Monk. Yeah. Those are two big
pieces. Six man of the year candidate.
That were huge for them last year. Yeah. And in keeping those games close. But you still have that. We've been here before. We've been through this. Yeah. We're no stranger to this fight. Oklahoma City is brand new to it.
Yeah, none of those guys have that. You know what's really interesting? The path of Domantas Sabonis. Do you remember? He was an Orlando Magic. Then he was on the Thunder. Whoa. Then he was on the Pacers, and now he's on the Kings. All those teams have all gone through iterations now, and they're all in the playoffs.
Another little nugget I saw, Jonas Valanciunas will be playing in his eighth play-in game. He has been in a play-in game
in each
of the last 5 years.
Holy crap, you're right.
Well, I'll be damned.
And none of them count.
That's the weird part.
They don't account in the record book. So Kobe White's 40-point game. Doesn't count.
You can have somebody go for 85 and it won't count.
That is the stupidest thing ever.
It should count.
Like, what if Wilt's scoring record is broken?
But how does
it? What if the single rebounding?
Call it a playoff game. Call it a playoff game.
Well, it is. Currently, they don't.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why isn't it? It has implications.
Well, because then it shortens your lottery down to, 12 teams? No. Shortens your lottery.
Does shorten your lottery. People care about a big lottery.
Call it a playoff game. I don't care. Or put them in the record books, whatever you want to call it.
I'm with Danny. Yeah, so they just disappear.
Yeah, they don't exist.
Damn.
Yeah.
What about for contract incentives, though? Like, what if Kobe White has a threshold of points to score in a season, say, arbitrarily, like...
Don't count.
You know, 1,100 points.
Yeah.
Nothing. And he crosses that. He had, like...
Got to get it on the final day of the regular season.
Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah.
You got to count it for something.
It's very dumb.
Yeah. All right.
So,
I'm out.
All right, coming up next. Well, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. How some teams around college football are exploiting the loopholes within the NIL system. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Charles Barkley, you know that guy that's really quiet and never says anything?
Oh, familiar.
Yeah.
Threw a guy through a plate glass window at a bar once.
new NCAA president Charlie Baker, who formerly politician, governor of Massachusetts, has said that he wants to bring politicians in to help iron out the issues in NIL.
Uh-oh.
And Charles Barkley just shot that down immediately and said, did he ask if he's going to bring politicians in to help us? See, that pisses me off already. Our politicians are awful people. Barkley says he'd rather have people who actually care about basketball, which includes journalists, coaches, and players, actually be the ones to get in that, because he said, we can't ask these politicians nothing. Those people are awful people. Democrats and Republicans, they're all crooks.
Look, I can, yes.
I agree.
Yes. I think that Charles Barkley is right.
Yeah.
But Charlie Baker is, the Charlies are both right. Chucks are both right in this. What needs to happen is Chuck Barkley is in the right spot here. What needs to happen first is a plan needs to be put together by people that care about college basketball, that care about college football and college athletics, to formulate a plan that is reasonable, makes sense, and works. What Charlie Baker is saying, though, is that politicians need to get involved because there does need to be some sort of federal oversight. NIL going state by state is asinine and stupid.
I like it.
And it inherently gives one state an advantage over another. Mm-hmm. And as the executive director and president of the NCAA, what you need to do is make sure it's as level of a playing field for everybody else as you possibly can make it. So I understand where Charlie Baker's coming from, but Charles Barkley is 100% correct. Having the politicians make this legislature on their own is the worst thing that you could possibly.
Because they're going to find a way to make a cut of to affect some legislative thing in their hometown or some donor somewhere that impacts them.
And there is a path where the NCAA gets this whole thing kind of put together and they say, this is what we want passed. This is reasonable. This is fair. This is what our member institutions and your constituents want, which is a level playing field. You guys don't know what you're talking about in this world. We do. Here is the plan. Will you please put it in place? And
then they'll add the pork to it.
And that's the thing is that is the mind numbing, just stupidity of our federal government. Mm-hmm. in the way they operate is everybody wants to fight for just weaseling something in on the back end of a bill or any sort of legislation that screws it up completely for the main purpose.
I'll okay this if we sneak this in and we sneak this in, if we sneak this in, it's like, well, now it's not doing what it was supposed to do.
But I understand where Charlie Baker's coming from because what has happened to the NCAA? It's been neutered of all power.
It's wonderful.
Based on state-by-state decisions.
It's wonderful.
So they need federal oversight. They do. And it is better for college sports if something does happen in that regard.
Agree to disagree. The NCAA just ceasing to exist in all facets to me is wonderful.
You can say that now, but when it doesn't exist and there is no umbrella, then what happens?
Goodness?
No.
Righteousness?
No. No, there has to be some sort of oversight, whether it is a federal legislation or giving the NCAA a little bit more teeth to where they can say, look, because the biggest part of NIL going state by state was they were sitting there looking at it going, you guys aren't allowing what is fair and right by the student athletes. And you guys are refusing to do it. So we are going to say, to hell with you. Screw you. Take a hike. Which was the right move. Mm-hmm. It was 100% the right move. But now you have every state with different rules and NCAA can't do anything about it. It's stupid. It is truly idiocracy to have that happen where every state's rules are completely different. And so you're taking any semblance of competitive balance away from some of the schools.
I think the competitive balance kind of revolves around that because you have inherent baked in competitive imbalances already.
Yes, you do.
So why does it matter if...
Because a school doesn't have the opportunity to compete. Even if the school wants, if the university wants to, if they want to be all on board, you're ripping that away from some universities that have the disadvantage of, you know, what, like in Texas, where it's just like, yep, green light, let her rip. And then some of these states that are very stringent on what can be offered and how much can be offered and to whom. Sucks.
Sounds like a sucks to suck situation.
Yeah. But like if it's taken out of the power of the university and they want to compete, that's that imbalance.
How many cases
about.
That are we talking about, though?
Several states where
that's actually happening.
Several states. Hmm. California is one of them where they have more restrictive NIL than other states do.
It's the same thing that where there's more punitive taxes on billionaires in California and professional sports. I think as much as I don't like it, I like the freedom that this allows for across the board.
But you're also restricting the universities that want to be able to compete with other ones in that same vein of we want to spend and you're not allowing us to. So, I mean, I think that's where there needs to be somebody's got to allow one blanket rule for NIL. Okay. Whether that is stripping it all down and it just being the free-for-all, sure.
The flip side is if you have a line, let's say it's $10 million, just using this as an arbitrary line, but schools want to spend over as the federal line. But yeah. Schools want to spend over that.
But that isn't where, like, per player?
No, I'm just like, saying. I'm saying that out. It's just not that it has any bearing. I'm just saying that is a number. But school A wants to spend more than that, and they can't. But in another state before that, they could.
At least what you are having is every school playing under the same parameters and playing the same game.
I don't like it.
All right.
Coming up next, something I do like. Jeff Russ Orr, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, let's go.
Tuesday, Friday afternoon, 2:30. But first, it's the Big Kahuna himself with the Sports Center Update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Well, my friends, the time is come. Raise the roof and have some fun.
If anything ever screamed Jeff Russ or the greatest game show ever, it's this song right here.
Yeah, you're damn right.
All night long.
I feel like it's your doorbell. Somebody comes to the Russ house and is like, all night long.
Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday afternoon. It is 2:40. Jeff Russ.
All right. The 8 seeds still up for grabs in the NBA. 4 o'clock on ESPN. Mm. The Bulls at the Heat. No Jimmy Butler. Alex Caruso says he'll play. The Heat are 1.5-point favorites. Who earns the right to get demolished by the Celtics? The Bulls
or
the Heat?
Please, for the love of God, let it be the Bulls. Please, for the love of God, let it be the Bulls.
I'm not going to say the Heat. I ride with Danny. Mm. I ride with Danny, his bets, and the petty Olympic gymnast of the year, Danny Morang, will that. His Twitter feed is going to be
that original tweet
tonight.
I had the bet. It had like 95 quote tweets on it from Heat fans,
and you're going to get all of them.
Every last one of them. And don't worry. I screenshot a bunch of them. So if they delete it, I've still got it.
Bookmark them. They're bookmarked. You're ready.
Moving on over to the West. The Kings somehow 0-5 in the regular season against the Pelicans. I'm not quite sure how that works.
It was a bad matchup for him.
But I didn't realize he played a single team 5 times in a season.
Playing.
I don't believe it. Oh.
In-season tournament.
Ah, there we go. Okay.
Tournament.
In New Orleans tonight, 6:30 tip on TNT. No Zion. Pelicans 1.5-point favorites. Who moves on to face the Thunder? The Kings
or
the Pelicans?
I'm gonna ride with the gimpy team that's not missing its star. Give me the Kangs.
I'm gonna go Kings too. Mm. No faith in Brandon Ingram.
No.
No Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
Faith
Trey,
in CJ.
Trey Murphy could be a guy.
Yeah, CJ just goes off tonight. Game 7, CJ shows up.
He's capable of doing it.
Yeah, he is.
Seen it before. We've seen him both be great and awful.
7 of 20 from the field. All right.
Let it rain!
Come on, it's 9 of 20.
Rain, man!
The Celtics lapped the Eastern Conference this season, finishing the regular season 14 games clear of the 2-seed Knicks. Who represents the East in the finals? The Celtics
or
the field?
I'm going to say something very stupid. The field. I don't know why, but there's this just reeling suspicion that something stupid is going to happen with the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals.
So who do you think gets them?
I have no reason to believe this at all, but there's just something I don't trust about the Celtics.
Yeah.
I feel like this is that one year where Philly and Embiid, he stays healthy. And as dumb as they looked against the Heat, I just feel like there's something there that he's the one player that they can't do anything about. And in the playoffs, that's what matters.
Got to support the team. I'm going Boston.
I'm going Boston.
They were exquisite throughout the regular season.
Oh, yeah.
I think the big question that we all had about them last year in the playoffs, it's not just Tatum and Brown being inconsistent, but a lot of it was they were going to win those games if they just had a damn point guard, a true ball handler, and then you would get that with Drew Holiday and a defender on the perimeter. I'm going to go
again. Boston. Everything I'm saying on this is wrong.
Just vibes.
It's 100% vibes.
Yeah. Over in the West, the Thunder and Nuggets finished with the same record, but Oklahoma City got the one seed. Denver is still kind of widely regarded as the favorite in the West. Most people think the Thunder are still too young and are going to have to take their playoff lumps. Who wins in the West? The Nuggets
or
the field?
Nuggets. I just don't see anybody. Jokic is still the best player on the planet.
OKC has got to figure their stuff out.
Yeah.
And Minnesota can't be trusted in the playoffs. Karl-Anthony Towns. Lakers, no.
Suns could get spicy.
Mavericks, maybe.
Mavs could get spicy.
Which Suns team shows up is the big question there. Denver.
Yeah.
Denver.
All right.
Complete team. Michael Malone.
If I'm picking another team, if it's not Denver, it is Dallas.
Yeah. Dallas is...
Remember,
scary.
Before they got hot, about a month and a half ago, I said, that's the team to watch, and they closed even better than I thought they would.
The show did.
This one's got kind of a long setup, but we'll have to go quickly. The NFL draft starts Thursday. Tis the season to pick nits and make wild claims.
Whoa.
ESPN's Matt Miller says he's hearing the Raiders are enamored with Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr. and could take him at number 13. But I heard on Jordan Sprague this morning, ESPN's Field Yates has Bo Nix ranked ahead of Penix on his big board, putting Nix in his top five and omitting Penix, citing Nix's athleticism and Penix's injury history. But then he does admit that he has them separated by about one spot in the draft. Who's off the board first, Michael Penix Jr.
or
Bo Nix?
Penix.
I think it's Penix, and it's not because he gets picked at 13. I think if the Broncos trade back, they're going to trade back further because a team that's going to want to move up is going to want to move up a ton to get to their spot, and the Raiders will not move back quite as far from their 13 spot. Does that make sense? So I think the Broncos move to the back end of the first round, one of the last four picks. I think the Raiders end up, if they move back, it's in the early mid-20s.
Oh, I think that... Yes, so what you're saying is that Denver's going to take Bo Nix, Raiders going to take Penix.
And I just,
in that line of thinking. I agree with that. I think that when you're looking at a team that needs more draft capital, it is the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. And if they got their guy that they trust and they believe in at quarterback, and being Bo Nix, which Sean Payton and him would be a good match together. Yeah, I agree. I think we could see them in the 20s. And I just... There's something about Vegas. I just don't think they're going to move back even at all. They're just going to say, we're fine at 13. We're going to take them at 13.
Why they don't want to me?
They don't want to fall past 16.
What about the Raiders makes you think they wouldn't do something like this?
Yeah.
Because a new GM?
If they fall past 16, right, who's drafting 16? Seattle Seahawks. And if the Seahawks are like, Penix is still here, okay. If they trade into the Raiders fall back into the 20s, they're going to panic at that one because there are a couple of quarterback needy teams, and it's very specific what Denver's looking for.
Gross.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have time for anything
else. Sorry, man.
Okay.
I'm sorry, dude.
Just hurting my soul. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Russell, Friday afternoons at 2:30-ish. Ish. Heavy on the ish. Coming up next, we'll get ready to hand you off to Isaac Souk here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Well, I managed to get through the radio show without knocking off my water bottle six different times already. I don't know if you've noticed it. I've done it five different times.
Why are you whispering?
Am I whispering?
Gotta get that mic a little closer to your face.
Yeah, my bad.
Mr. Radio Professional.
It's funny because I was trying to put my headphones in and I put them in backwards. I'm completely disheveled.
You
it's Friday.
Are nailing this right now.
I am a radio professional.
You gotta get that foot back in from outside the door.
Good God, the Friday is happening. Somebody's
Holy
gotta keep the Fridays.
Smokes,
look, man, it's playing basketball on a Friday. I want to get the hell out of here.
He's ready to go all Gary Suter on everybody here.
I pulled up a picture of him. Doesn't look like what you think he does.
Oh, he looks exactly like
really?
I thought
you thought
did.
So?
Yeah. That one picture from the original tweet I sent. Yeah, it was like, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
Sneaky jacked.
Well, yeah, because he's a pool shark and a gambler. Like, the dude's had to fight his way through some stuff,
You're
man.
Probably not wrong.
Well, Gary Suter, if you missed that, go back to the audio vault when Russ puts the old podcast together. End of the 12 o'clock hour.
Yeah, Gary Suter.
And it's more than just the tweet that's circulating right now.
Oh, I even made it. It's its own standalone segment on the podcast.
That Excellent. Man was something.
Again, this is a Netflix special waiting to happen.
Yeah, we need interviews from people that knew him because he obviously has some cheeky, funny stories. It kind of sounds like he would be an insufferable person to be around, though. You know, like it was probably a hard friendship if you were friends with old Gary Suter.
And I did say earlier, I was like, yeah, waiting for the 30 for 30. But no, I think this needs to be like a streamer or a cable service thing because you're going to there's going to be some blue content.
This is 100% a Netflix special that needs to happen. And just the people who made Tiger King, go find Gary Suter's acquaintances. Something tells me there's not a lot of family around with old Gary Suter, but find some acquaintances and we'll get to the bottom.
Was it the 70-71 season or 71-72?
Yeah, it was 70-71, the first inaugural year of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I feel really suspicious not a lot of people are alive from that team. I've seen a lot of birth dates on that team of 40, 1939, 1940.
Getting to be a while ago now.
I mean, you're going to be pretty old there. You have 4 years of college and then getting to the NBA.
Well, what, 1970? I think even Swag was 24.
There's six rookies on that team.
It's a mean thing to say.
Sorry.
Was Lake Oswego...
Piling on like dirt and Sprague.
I'll say, does Lake Oswego, did they have roads around it yet?
What?
Lake Oswego?
Just the dirt ones for the covered
the
wagons.
The covered wagons?
Yeah.
I was just piling on Swag here.
That is not a man I would pile on.
Sorry for the stray Swag.
I am here to tell you, Suka said this for years. He is going to snap at some point.
At some point.
Do not be on his bad side. Do not.
You're going to go full Gary Suter?
Worse. He'll go worse.
He'll get shot dead over.
We'll wind up like Gary Suter, yeah.
He'll go Swag. And right when you think it's over, hold on! We think! He'll get you. Love me some Swag.
Here's the situation.
Wham!
Need the play-by-play of Gary Suter.
Yeah. All right, that'll do it for us this week. We'll be back Monday. It's draft week next week. We got NBA playoffs starting this weekend. It'll be fully loaded. All right, have a great weekend, everybody. 4 hours of power next from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Sue.
Bye.
Hold on, everybody.
My friends either smell like weed or little babies.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.